Chapter 88 Abomination and Absolution. Gerund fought to keep his nerve. Horrors he had faced, horrors he had beaten, horrors he had endured. But with every step of Chronadrone's approach, his senses and courage reeled, duty and honour serving as the last anchors against turning away from the battlements and running, as some of the men on the wall now did. Mikkik's evil truly knew no bounds. Gerund had to fight off the amazement seizing his tongue. He had to find the words to stiffen the shaking knees and feet now standing in puddles of urine. It was half again as high as the walls, a single mass of hundreds if not thousands of human bodies, clinging together to form a single mass in the rough shape of a man. Some were naked, others clothed in rotting rags, falling away with every heavy footfall. The desiccated, rotting forms of men, women and children with grey, tattered skin compacted together in one form, but each twitched and moved individually as the creature lumbered forward with dark purpose. The rotted hands and arms and legs of each individual member clung to their neighbours to form the creature's shape and musculature, and like a gigantic brute of the abyss, it came steadily forward, pounding toward them in the wavering light of the fires and torches on the walls. But while its appearance shocked, its smell sickened. The rank odour of decay, stale sweat and faeces wafted before it in an invisible, poisonous cloud that challenged the fortitude of every stomach in its path. As it neared, the wails and moans of Chronadrone's corpses unnerved even the sturdiest soldier, every man on the walls stupefied and waiting to wake from a nightmare that dwarfed their darkest imaginings. Maywen grabbed Gerund's hand.
"You must raise your voice! Get them moving!"
Gerund shook his head to clear it.
"Stand your ground!" he yelled, sprinting along the wall. "Arrows and ballistae! Fire now! Fire now! Get the spearmen ready!"
His calls echoed along the wall and the other commanders picked it up as the generals and dukes sprinted up the stairs from below. Awakened from their torpidity, the arrows and heavy bolts of the ballistae poured from the walls and into the creature. To Gerund's dismay, the arrows did little. The bodies convulsing and wrapping around each other to snap the protruding arrows off and present fresh flesh for targets. The ballistae ripped holes in the great mass only to have them filled again.
"Archers down, spearmen forward!"
Gerund yelled as Chronadrone loomed above them.
"We must push them off the walls, they're coming!"
The switch of soldiers had only begun when the creature lurched forward with renewed speed and crashed into the walls above the gate. The bodies of the top disconnected from one another and crashed onto and over the wall, spilling into the main courtyard while the rest clambered up the backs and appendages of their fellows to stream over the massive barrier with inhuman celerity. They ran fully twice as fast as any human Gerund had ever seen, and the long fall from the walls seemed to do little to slow them. With bony fists, ragged teeth, and clawed hands, they beat and scraped and wrestled down everything in their path with a ferocious purpose. Once they felled a foe, they took his weapons and continued on their deadly rampage.
"They're headed to the gatehouse!" General Harban screamed. "Keep them away! Fight to the last!"
The men in the courtyard streamed forward, but it was too late. The steady stream of Chronodrone's quick and deadly minions too fast to prevent the slaughter of the gate guard and the slow opening of the mighty doors and portcullis. The remnants of Chronodrone crammed through the slowly opening gap and joined their companions. Once again they gathered, climbing up and over each other, forming into a solid mass. With monstrous feet and fists, Chronodrone pounded and crushed the soldiers in the courtyard while making its way toward the doors of the great hall. Gerund swore and tore down the stairs, Maywen following.
"We have to chop them down, one at a time,"
he yelled to any soldier that would listen. The courtyard was an unruly mess, the creature outpacing and outmaneuvering every attempt to form an assault against it, all the while smashing down with heavy feet to crush anything that approached near it. Some of the corpses in the lower legs still held weapons, and would reach out from their clinging positions to swipe at anyone who got too near. In frustration, Gerund realized that nothing could stop it in time. It would reach the great hall and slaughter its way to the chambers where Mirel waited as decoy. She would be trapped and defenseless. Her only hope would be to escape out a side entrance and try to win free of the city.
"The Uyamark are coming!" someone yelled from the wall.
Gerund swallowed his panic and bolted to where his horse waited with the wounded of his company. His injured arm reminded him of its existence as he pulled himself up onto the horse.
I'm going to get Morel, Gerund yelled to Maywin. See if they can get the gates closed before the Uyumark get here. She nodded and sprinted away. Gerund dug his heels into his mount and crashed into the square, heedless of bowling away friend or foe as he tore ahead of the abomination that was dismantling everything in its path. The men had clumped thickly before it, slowing but not stopping its progress, and Gerund rode around them and up the stairs to the great hall. The creature would be there in minutes, and Morel would die. Through his brand, Jen felt the Shalane's life fade and then flee. He watched Saturnus release her, her body collapsing in the midst of the Uyumark mob still mesmerized by the green lantern light. Jen drew his sword. The blood on the floor could still save her. He needed only bathe her body in it. He could bring her back. Shoving away the doubts in his mind, he let the anger and sadness loose, yanking his sword from its sheath. Joran slunk back, face panicked. With a quick glance at Jen, she muttered the words of blood magic under her breath, the blood-stained dagger in her hand flaring with power. Saturnus eyed it.
"Stay away," she said, retreating back toward the fallen archway, "or Saturnus will set them loose."
"That dagger is the only thing that can end your life, Saturnus," Jen said. "I won't help you after what you've done, so it is your last chance." Saturnus needed no further prodding. Like a savage animal, he bolted after Joran, who dropped the dagger and darted away into the gathering darkness of the Hall of Three Moons. With reverence, Saturnus lifted the weapon from the floor, regarding it with a smile of gleeful anticipation. "At last! At last!" he said, kissing the blade.
"Oh, sweet oblivion! My only forgiveness!"
With a decisive downward thrust, he plunged the knife into his breast, closing his eyes with pleasure. A glow gathered around Saturnus for a brief moment, and in an instant the white-hot radiance consumed him, the hilt of the now bladeless dagger falling to the ground.
"That was quite a show," Joran cackled, voice emanating from somewhere in the motionless horde of Mikik's creatures.
Jen walked among the Uyumark and found the witch with her hand on the lantern. Amid the scaly, colour-shifting legs of the Uyumark, the Shalane's body lay still, though the raspy, burned skin of her arms and the brittle hair had changed back to their natural colour and lustre. He struck out toward her body, but Joran shuttered the lantern, and in the near-total darkness the Uyumark awoke and smelled an enemy near. Jen backed out of their reach as they came to their senses. Wary of the slick blood and the chasm's edge, he angled away deeper into the chamber. Debris littered the room, making movement treacherous. As one, the Uyumark slapped their chests and darted after him. Jen turned and dove behind a rubble pile to keep them all from falling on him at once. Flinching away from a dark arrow loosed upon him, he laid into an Uyumark warrior that had followed him over the stone. Jen gutted it with a single stroke of his sharp blade, kicking the body away. With a backstroke, he decapitated a basher rounding upon him. "I've got to get to a wall," he thought, seeing that they could surround him at any moment. With two powerful strokes, he hacked two hunters in half and bolted for a section of the wall that would keep the creatures off his back. Negotiating, the room tested every sense he had, his enemies at his heels stumbling along behind him. Another arrow sped by him, nicking his shoulder as he at last reached the protective wall and spun with a wide stroke, killing one warrior and amputating the arm of a hunter, who tripped and fell. With all the speed and skill of his training, he fought, Joran's echoing laughter mocking him. In the end, there were too many, the desiccating curse upon his skin slowing his movements. A claw dug away a furrow of flesh from his chest. A sword carved a bloody gash in his leg. A basher's hammer pulverized his arm. Still he fought on until an arrow he could not avoid dug into his belly, slamming him into the wall and knocking him to his knees. Almost all was dark now, and he felt as he had at Butcher's Gap, spent and waiting for the last blow to send him to Erelinda, send him to the Shalane. Abasha raised its hammer above his head, and Jen closed his eyes, welcoming death. But it never came. He opened his eyes to find the ruins again, bathed in green light. The Uyumark retreated back toward the other side of the hall where the Shalane lay. Jen couldn't move, and he awaited Joran's jeering face to come mock him before finishing him off. But instead of the old and bent witch, a robed figure strode purposefully toward him, staff in hand. He pulled his hood down around his shoulders as he bent down. Even in the weak light and despite the burned skin, Jen recognized Aethon, Pontiff of the Church of the One.
Lord Mickmere? Aethon asked.
Yes, Jen answered.
I can heal you with some of the power of the blood on the floor, but if I know your purpose, I fear it may spend the virtue needed to do your task.
Help me to the Shalane. I will do it. Where is Juran?
I hit her rather hard in the head.
Throw her in the chasm.
It is not my nature to do such things, not any more, Aethon objected, extending his arm. Jen took the proffered arm and used it to rise, his ravaged body screaming with pain. With a yell, he snapped the Uyumark arrow in his gut in half and tossed the shaft away.
Set me by the blood. Bring the Shalane's body to me.
Aethon helped him over and placed him carefully against the stone where they had lain to bleed.
What do you need her body for? To bring her back. But you need to heal Elder Lurimora with that blood. If she lives, I can do both with your help.
Aethon nodded and wove between the entranced Uyumark to drag the Shalane over by the armpits and into the blood on the floor.
Soak her in it, Jen ordered. You've done this before.
He nodded, the drying blood making his task difficult. Anywhere the Shalane's blood touched Aethon's skin, the flesh healed, and he glanced at it, amazed.
Now step away from her, Jen commanded.
Weak and dizzy, Jen recited the words of power, opening a portal to Erelinda to find his beloved bride. Aethon gasped in awe at the beautiful splendor of green trees, tall waterfalls, and blooming verdure that filled their vision. In a deep blue sky, overspread with full white clouds, flew every kind and color of birds. The animals of the forest wandered wild and free among the spirits of men and women who walked among the flawless beauty. But more than sight, the feeling of rapturous joy and peace emanated through the portal, the light narrowing their eyes with its warm brilliance. Jen smiled as he found her, walking in wonder with her arms wide spread to flit along the hazy petals of flowers, her blonde hair streaming behind her in a caressing breeze. She wore a loose white dress hemmed in purple with no other device adorning her body. In her perfect face rested a peace Jen had never seen play upon her features, a contentment that could only come from an absence of worry or toil. She was at home. Jen called to her across the distance and she turned and smiled, her unparalleled beauty an object of worship. She stared back, unclouded eyes full of love.
It is time I healed Kihol, she said. I know what to do now. Again, I thank you, Jen. I knew Erelinda before I came to it. I felt it with you. Now the whole world must know. Do not be sad. One day you will know this joy as I know it.
Jen creased his brow as the Shalane neared the portal, her form dissolving into a bright, shining presence the closer she came. On the floor, her body caught up the brilliance, losing its shape and burning like a sun to light the entire room. Jen closed his eyes as the Shalane's spirit passed through the portal, the Hall of Three Moons reverberating with power. The power of her blood was gone, and the spell died. Portal winking out. The room shook and swayed. Aethon fell.
Look,
Aethon said. Jen opened his eyes. The Uyumark, the lantern, and Joran's body had all been blasted to dust to be carried away on a wind that swirled about the hall and then dove into the bowels of the shrinking chasm. In amazement, they watched as the hall knit itself together, stone rising to meet stone, cracks closing as if never sundered, and the glass of the arched dome rising to fit perfectly into place. The mighty chasm pushed together, and the trembling stopped. Aethon helped Jen to his feet, draping his arm over his shoulder. Their skin had healed of its affliction, and they stumbled outside to watch the restoration of Elder Lurimora. The fireflies streamed toward them from every direction, hovering around them to create a warm evening light wherever they walked. The rotting, blackened trees and bushes greened, swelled, and flowered, as if spring had blown an entire season of warming winds in an instant. The befouled water of the lake turned clear and smooth, reflecting the starlight on its mirror surface. Tears fell from both their eyes as they witnessed the return of the city's spirit, a familiar spirit to Jen, youthful, pure, and one that he would always miss. He lifted his hand to a nearby blossom, and at his touch a plum grew and ripened, falling into his palm. In his heart he instinctively knew what it was for, and he took a bite of its sweet flesh, the wounds of his body closing and healing as new. Athan, haunted and humbled, turned his face to a sky filled with fireflies and stars.
"I am sorry," he said. "I was a fool. Forgive me, Shalane. Forgive a stupid, prideful man."
Jen sat on the street and put his head between his knees. He cried as the price of Kihol's salvation was collected and carried away from him. In the earth, in the air and in the water he could sense her, but her touch and her smile and her words were gone. How long he mourned on the street he couldn't say. Athan wept nearby, head bowed. A bird call trilled in the air. Jen stirred, lifting his head to the sky. He wanted to sit and rest, to mourn the loss of his wife and let the returning vigour of Elder Lurimora work to soothe the ache within. But Mikkik and his armies were gone to Mikmir, and there Jen knew he must go. As his thoughts turned to Rugarth, a group of fireflies broke from the swarm to dance in a loose globe in front of him. Slowly they moved away, and Jen followed. Athan trailed meekly a few steps behind. Jen still not ready to forgive or forget what the man had done in the pursuit of his zealotry. Jen could pity him, for he was Mikkik's biggest fool, but until he could get the image of Mirel hanging from a pole while fire charred her legs, he could feel nothing but loathing for the man. The globe of fireflies passed down the main avenue of Elder Lurimora before turning into the thick green grass and toward the lake. They reached the shore and the globe hovered out over the shallow water near the edge. Jen squinted. Something glimmered beneath the calm surface of the translucent water. He removed his boots and stepped in, reaching down. Feeling about in the sandy silt, he closed his fist around a rough, porous rock the size of an apple. As soon as he gripped it, the power of the moon duum exploded within him, a reserve of energy flowing from the stone into his body. He pulled it out of the water, examining its blackened, rough surface. A chunk of the moon, fallen to Kihol.
"What is it?"
Athan asked.
"Power," Jen replied. "I need to get back to Mikmir."
"That will take nearly a week." As soon as Athan said the words, a flash of blue spilled a brilliant light across the lake. Just behind them in the grass, a portal waited.
"Amazing," Athan said, awed.
"Are you coming?" Jen asked as he pulled on his boots.
"No,"
he answered.
"Tell them I was killed. I have penance to do in this place, and I will stay. The church must go on, but it will go on without me. But I must know. Are you really Aldredan Mikmir? There is something familiar about you I cannot place."
"Believe what you will. I have a kingdom to see to."
Jen took a deep breath and plunged through the portal.